This is going to be the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
It's going to be lit.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest
show. You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
The greatest of all time. I can feel it right now.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
There can be no doubt that this is indeed the greatest radio show ever, ever, ever. But the Cardinals offensive coordinator job is certainly not the best OC job ever, 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 as evidenced by breaking news. John DeFilippo, according to who, Jarrett?
Ian Rappaport.
According to Ian Rappaport, somehow believes that, what?
No, just look at the screen there. The tweet's up there.
Okay, this is a communications medium. We can speak to each other. I don't have to read what you put on the screen. You can speak it verbally to me.
Okay. Ian Rappaport was the one.
I'm just going to sit this one out.
Sorry. And you know what? I just violated a rule here.
That's why I don't want to.
Your voice should always be heard before your voice.
Exactly.
Hi, Vinny.
Yeah, and let me be the first thing I say today. I'm on Team Jarrett on this one. Read the damn screen.
Okay.
I'm joking.
I think it's ridiculous. Because we all know Jarrett is so consistent in putting things on the screen.
Yeah. All right.
Because it
Touché.
Really, because it really
I've swayed
builds,
again.
Because it really builds consistency in checking the monitor, right? For updates and stuff, right, Vinny?
Angsty.
Who's side you on?
Angsty Bick is angsty.
Oh, it's,
don't
no,
turn on me. That was day two.
I rolled into 2019 hot. You know that.
I was just trying trying to help.
I am just getting aggravated by the amount of BS swirling around us. That's all. I'm just aggravated.
So back to the tweet.
Don't look at me. John DeFilippo has somehow decided that living in Jacksonville is better than living in Arizona. That working for the Jaguars is better than working for the Cardinals. There you go, folks. That's the state of your offensive coordinator position in Arizona.
More breaking news. Cardinals to interview Dan Bickley for vacant offensive coordinator position.
I was thinking about that yesterday.
Per sources.
I was thinking about that yesterday. If there was ever a head coaching job in the NFL I could do, it would be this one. It would be the offensive coordinator under Cliff Kingsbury. Because he's going to do everything. He's got to do everything. If he doesn't do everything, then people are going to go, what was the point of this?
We think.
This is all in theory.
There's a lot of unknown here.
And there's a lot more to being an NFL head coach probably than we might think.
But hey, would you rather, let's face it, John DeFilippo, not even a full year as an offensive coordinator, but a quarterback's coach kind of guy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather work with Blake Bortles than Josh Rosen?
No, I wouldn't. You would?
Only because Blake,
maybe you could.
Only because Blake Bortles is a running joke on one of my favorite shows. So,
what is that? You've told that joke before. What is it?
The Good Place. One of the characters is from Jacksonville on that show, and he's a huge Blake Bortles fan. That's the only advantage he has.
Okay, gotcha.
Last year at this time, I was saying Blake Bortles isn't that bad. He sucks.
No, I know. I know. I thought he. I really thought he had turned a corner in the 2017 playoffs, and he went right back to stinking out loud.
Yes, he did.
Let's start the show, Jarrett.
What were we just
the
doing?
Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball. Oh, it's going to be one of those days. Splash brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger. That kind of became the number one item in the splash, what we already talked
it
about.
Is.
John DeFilippo going to Jacksonville.
Right.
Cardinals still searching for an offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
In name only.
You're exactly right. So this job is still out there, and it seems and it feels like it should be a big job, but it's really not a big job because the job's already full. It's already been filled by the head coach. It is so disorienting for old school football people. If we could pull back the curtain, if you could see Wolf after his show is over, now he'd been on the air for 4 hours, you still saw how worked up he was about how the NFL is changing. How the NFL that Ron Wolfley knew just doesn't exist anymore. And I'm telling you, the people who grew up of a different generation, who were schooled to think that the head coach of a football team was the be-all, end-all, and they were. And they were. I'm telling you, there. When you look at youth coaches in this country, you look at high school, football, college, pro football coaches, all of these guys have been reared to believe they are it, that they are immortal. I've told you the story. Growing up on the south side of Chicago, I like football. I was okay at it. I went out to play for team. The coach of the football team where I grew up was the biggest jerk face you would ever imagine. We had to run 17 laps of the football field after practice was over. We were kids. Why? Because he was a football coach, and he could. And he drummed the in 3 days. That guy made me, I hate you. Me and a lot of what I feel of tyrannical head coaches is from born from that personal experience. When you're tyrannical and authoritative to the point of absurdity.
Well, I mean,
but a generation grew up with these figures as the pillars of football, and it's crumbling.
Here's me being a contrarian again. Did you ever, in all these years since, sit back and think, maybe we were just a bunch of out-of-shape jerks and this coach needed to run us 17
laps?
No,
that's not true. That is not true. Because I was not that kid, and the kids I grew up were not those kids. We respected authority. We obeyed and listened and respected our elders. There were just people who abused it.
Oh, I think you're seeing less and less of that, but that will always exist.
Well, because coaches can't get away with it anymore.
Yeah.
Kids transfer. Kids say, forget it, I'm playing baseball.
They have social media now, too.
Well, right, that's true. They get outed on social media. But this whole thing is just fabulous because...
Do you remember the Titans?
Do I remember the Titans? I like that.
Yeah. Herman
Boone.
Do
you remember Square the Titans?
Herman Boone would have been fired and sued.
That's a good point.
Can't withhold water from your kids. Water doesn't make you weak.
Yeah, you're right. You're practically, allowing children to cook their insides. Boil from the inside out.
Herman Boone was a precursor to DJ Durkin. Times have changed. You're exactly right.
Oh, yeah. And we also live in a state that idolizes and lionizes Frank Cush. You think Frank Cush could be Frank Cush in 2018,
no.
2019?
No.
Not happening. All right, in the NBA last night, the Phoenix Suns. Man, I tell
way
you.
Way to this, follow it up,
this
guys.
This team has really turned a corner, Vinny. This team is...
You know how many times the phrase that I uttered on the air more than once, building an identity based on defense, ran through my head last night?
Yeah.
Because there was nothing resembling defense going on at in Indiana. The Pacers beat the Suns 131-97. That was with Devin Booker back in the lineup. Book might have had his worst game as a pro last night. And there wasn't really anybody to point at and say, yeah, that was good. And Kelly Oubre was okay, but went 1 of 6 from the free throw line. That was over early. I mean, the Pacers came out and ran a clinic in the first quarter, and it just continued.
Yeah. Did you ever see? And first of all, Devin Booker threw me off because I don't know whether he was wearing a headband last night or whether it looked like he had brain trauma. He looked like one of those guys in that famous Revolutionary War picture, the three of them. One's playing the drums, the other one's got that bandage around his head. That's what Devin Booker looked like last night. That basketball game was disgusting last night. My 9-year-old was waiting to watch Batman The Dark Knight Rises with me, and he was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm like, Cole, I've got to see the end of this basketball game. And at one time, he's like, Daddy, when are you going to stop watching it? That team stinks! Growing a generation of fans one at a time. It's the way to do it.
That's how you do it. You follow up a good performance by just one of the worst performances in the league this year. That was awful.
No, it was.
The Warriors didn't have a bad first quarter. 51 points in their win over the Nuggets. A new first quarter NBA record. Consider that. I said it earlier, Bick. We're not far off from some team in the NBA scoring 200 points in a game. The problem with that is if you're scoring that many points, the opposition is going to tune out. They're not really going to play that hard. Thus, you will tune out and you won't be able to sustain that level of offense for 48 minutes.
Or you're going to break every unwritten rule by going full bore in the fourth quarter with your starters when the other team's already surrendered.
But look, 51 points over four quarters. That's over 200.
Get you there.
It's going
to
happen.
Can you duplicate that? Can you go 51 times four? Can you get to the fourth quarter at like 146, and then the Warriors and Steve Kerr, they go, you know what? Forget what everybody thinks. Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah.
That's what it'll take. And the Warriors would be the team to do it. What's scary about
this? But they won't
this?
Risk it ever, because you'd have to keep your starters in a blowout game. And it would.
Oh.
I mean.
The other team would be taking
realistic,
safe shots.
Theoretically, it could happen. Realistically, it won't.
Yeah, that's well
said. But 51 points in a quarter. I mean, the Suns haven't even given that up yet. I'm angsty now, too.
Well, look, here's the thing about Golden State, too, that's tripping me out. They still haven't had DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to play Friday against the Clippers.
Yeah.
And if they can drop 50, Denver, you look at the percentages from Denver, they shot 45% from the field. They're a good team, and they got hammered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so bye, parody. Bye-bye. And then DeMarcus Cousins is going to join that team on Friday?
Just slow him down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And right. Then finally, in the splash, from the broadcasting realm, Bob Costas, done with NBC. 40-year relationship over. I get a kick out of all these headlines. Bob Costas, in quotes, quietly splits with NBC. That's like a 25-point font right there. There's nothing quiet about this. It's everywhere.
Yeah, no, it would be hard to do that quietly.
And I know he's got fans, he's got detractors, but what a run at one network, and it's over.
I don't know, and Bob Costas is an amazing broadcaster, but I, for the life of me, still can't get over when he tried to broadcast the Olympics with pink eye. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was like, it really was like Dr. Evil looking at the mole on that guy. You know what I mean? Holy moly!
That was Austin Powers that was looking at the mole.
What'd I say?
Not Dr. Evil.
Oh, Dr. Evil didn't do it?
No, it was Austin Powers. But also, just one more thing. Archie Bradley with a...
Oh, yes. Sort of cryptic tweet.
Yeah.
A picture Archie Bradley tweeted out of himself shaking hands with a catcher at the end of a baseball game. And it said just two words. Closing time.
Think somebody was given a promotion?
Is that a promotion? Here, have the most high-profile job on our pitching staff.
Yeah, of course it is.
And you were really bad in the second half of last season, but here you go. We'll get into all of that today.
Yeah. All right, good.
We have to start here after the splash. I was laughing. I will laugh at Twitter occasionally. I was laughing out loud.
At?
An exchange between John Gambadoro.
Oh.
And the drummer of Jimmy Eat World, Zach Lind, who is a faithful listener of this show and others on this station. And I can only imagine how it went down on the air, because we have the... yesterday was Ticket Window Tuesday, so we had the Innings Festival tickets to give away. Jimmy Eat World is playing the Innings Festival.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Burnsy made the read, and Gambo's response sounded something like, Jimmy Eat World, like, what do they do? I don't know. What do they do? What do they do? What are they saying? I don't know. And it turned into this response of Zach saying, how do you not know who we are?
Yeah.
You've lived here for over 20 years. Maybe the biggest band ever to come out of Arizona.
The Gin Blossoms probably.
On the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, I would definitely. Definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. So what's funny is Zach responds to Gambo, and then Gambo's like, oh, well, just send me some of their music. I'll check them out. Still didn't even know that the guy interfacing with him was the drummer for Jimmy
Eat World.
The
best part of it was our promotions director, Tom, chiming in saying, Gambo. He's their drummer, Gambo.
He's their drummer. Look, I'm not smart. I'm not smart. It's crazy.
It was the best exchange I've seen in a long
time. Yeah, no, that was funny. You sent that to me. I almost fell out of my chair last night. I really did.
And also, I have to point out that it was probably a Civil War photo, because the Revolutionary War happened 50 years before photographs were invented.
It's not a photo. It's a painting. It's a picture. You don't even know which one I'm talking about?
I don't know.
When Washington crossed the Delaware? You don't remember that one?
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. They're all shoeless, and they're walking through crusty snow and ice, and one guy's playing the drum, and one guy's got a bandage around his head. You don't remember that?
I do now that you mention it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah. It's been a weird 15 minutes of the show so far.
It's only going to get weirder.
Yeah, so, I think so.
So embrace that. Here's what I wanted to start the show with a kind of a funny joke. Shane Dale from ABC 15 tweeted out that if Arizona gets to the NCAA tournament this season, it could be ultimately considered Sean Miller's best coaching job in 10 years in Tucson. Hunting Tyler responded, yeah, they haven't been this far under the salary cap in a very, very long time. All right, let's start the show, everybody.
Yeah, coaching news, none in Arizona. We do have the Jim Bob Cooter interview to react to. That's the latest. But the latest news with an offensive coordinator candidate taking a job, John DeFilippo, not coming to Arizona. He apparently was on the top of the Cardinals list to fill that position. Instead, he's going to Jacksonville.
Yeah. You get the idea that the Cardinals, after trying to hire big-name offensive coordinators and being rebuffed, are now spreading the message that this is not that big of a deal. I tend to agree with them, but you can see the spin control in action. I mean, it's just so transparent. It really is. It's not that important of a job. The truth of the matter is, it's when you hire a guy who is an offensive coordinator to be your head coach, you've got the job filled. Especially the way that they have created this bubble around Cliff Kingsbury. And when I mentioned Wolf and I and how three of us were talking about how weird all of this is, it all stems from this. They're backfilling his coaching staff for him. Unprecedented. For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, it's strange.
It takes the old model and the old diorama and it just hacks it to the ground. That's number one. Number two, all the loyalty of Cliff Kingsbury's coaching staff is going to be to Steve Keim, not the head coach, because Steve Keim's the one that gave them the job, not the head coach. So all that loyalty.
Initially, that might be true. If they have success, that could shift.
Yes. But if they have failure, it's going to be beyond a dumpster fire. You thought it was bad last year. If Cliff Kingsbury can't pick up a first down, okay, this is going to get really ugly. And they know it. Or they better. Because what Steve Keim has done now, okay, is he's followed up a terrible hire in hiring and believing Steve Wilks was the guy with something that's never been done before. Filling a coaching staff based on your contact list and not the head coach's comfort level. So it is ultimately transparent that Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator with a head coaching title.
Absolutely. And that's why, not saying this is the right way to handle it, but I agree with the assumption that this is not that important of a job.
It's not. It's not.
John DeFilippo had an opportunity to be an offensive coordinator for most of last season. He's got designs on doing that again. And I know the talk was, well, he's a quarterbacks guy and he's worked with quarterbacks throughout his career in the NFL for 11 years.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what he wants to do. No, it's not. Coaches are about advancement. There was not really a chance for John DeFilippo to come to Arizona, in my opinion, and shine to the level that he would need to shine to get that next opportunity to be a head coaching candidate.
Yeah.
It probably exists more in Jacksonville. And this situation in Arizona is, for all the reasons you pointed out, Bick, it is very interesting. But I also think this is kind of the way things are going to go.
Yeah.
From now on. We had the quote from Michael Bidwell when he was on with Burns and Gambo, talking about how important it is to have your head coach be your play caller because you don't want that relationship interrupted. From another coach coming in,
no.
From another franchise coming in and poaching your coach. So Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach. He is also the offensive coordinator. By definition, or reality says, it diminishes the offensive coordinator position as, and I've called it a support position in talking about these interviews that are going on.
But then why are they interviewing guys like Steve Sarkisian, John DeFilippo? Do you think they're interviewing him and telling him this is a cake job? But we'd like a big name here, so just come here. You don't have to do much.
I don't think they're presenting it that way.
Of course not.
But the reality is, wow, if I want to be a play caller, if I want to advance my career, this is probably not the place or situation to do it in right now.
Well, without a doubt. And I think what's happening is offensive coordinators like John DeFilippo and Steve Sarkisian and others probably have come in here and said, okay, this sounds great, but what am I doing? If I'm not calling plays and I'm not, and that guy is in charge of developing the quarterback, what exactly is my role here in this organization? And they're like, well, you know, there's a really good cheesesteak place right up the street. You can hook us up there like once a week. You know what I mean? And to me, that's when they're like, okay, this is a coaching graveyard. Bye-bye. I don't think it's that big of a deal because you've got your – that's what makes this hire so different is they've got their offensive coordinator. He's just over-promoted to head coach. And that's what's making guys like Wolf insane because you're taking a position that used to be just so exalted. And you had to work, and you had to pay your dues, and you had to check off boxes, and you had a network, and you had to kiss backside and shake hands and all that stuff. And now they're just giving it to a guy who's 25 and 30 at Texas Tech? That's what's messing with people.
Bidwell essentially said that we hired him as head coach because we couldn't just hire him as offensive coordinator.
Just basically admitted it. We need our play caller to be a head coach so nobody steals him.
And because Kingsbury kind of said it, it's come out since. He wasn't going to jump from USC for an NFL coordinator position.
No, right. That's correct, too. Now, and you think about it, there's something to be said for it. The Giants called the Diamondbacks trying to hire Mike Hazen away. That's how cutthroat professional sports are. So, yeah, you know what I mean? So I get the logic behind it all, but we all have to kind of recalibrate what we're looking at here. Because what we're looking at here is something that's unprecedented, and thank God the Cardinals did this.
No, I don't want to totally paint this as an undesirable position for an offensive coordinator. There are elements to it that could be a challenge. And Cliff Kingsbury's been on record saying, I'm looking forward to working with somebody that can help me kind of translate the traditional NFL offenses, elements of that into what I'm doing. Because, you know, his offense, if we see a full Cliff Kingsbury offense in the NFL, people are going to freak out next year. Yeah. I don't think you're going to see that. No. I think it's going to be an ease into it. That is the challenge to anybody who takes this job is taking the knowledge they have about NFL offenses and the way things are quote unquote supposed to go and blending it with the Cliff Kingsbury offense. That to me is still lends to some intrigue, but all in all, it is a different opportunity.
Yep.
Than other teams can offer right now at the offensive coordinator position.
There's no doubt about it. But once again, this is what's made this. This is what's going to carry us and carry our interest.
But here's what's interesting too. The Los Angeles Rams, who's their offensive coordinator?
I have no idea.
They don't have one.
They don't?
They don't have one by title. They have passing game coordinator, running game coordinator.
There you go.
Maybe that's
football's changing.
And who just got a job from that staff? The quarterback's coach.
Yes.
The quarterback's coach.
Not even the offensive coordinator.
And that's if you're trying to be like Sean McVay and find the next Sean McVay, look at their model. It's different.
So you're saying the Cincinnati Bengals nailed this?
Oh, I don't think they ever nailed anything.
Yeah, I know. Wow. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. Sun stunk it up last night in Indiana. We thought they were building an identity. Last night it looked like an identity crisis. We'll get into the Sun's loss to start their road trip next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah, I would say we didn't show up. First quarter, the way we opened the game, it wasn't really, it wasn't part of the game plan. You know, starting game, we had a couple of defensive stops, we didn't convert them into points. 10 turnovers, way too many. When you open the game that way, we were behind the whole game. So, didn't show up tonight.
Hall of Famer Al McCoy on the final call of the ugliness last night in Indianapolis, and then Igor Kokoschkov in the locker room. After the game, courtesy of AZ Central Sports, 131-97, the final score, wasn't even that close. Biggest lead for the Pacers, 37 points during the game. It was a wire-to-wire game, meaning the Suns never even held a one-point lead in the game. And look, we've seen these performances all too often, even for a young team. Getting your brains kicked in like that is not acceptable. This goes to a new level of unacceptable because of the timing of it. You're coming off your best win of the year, starting a road trip. Indiana's a good team. I tweeted this out last night, and I fully believe this. Would not shock me if Indiana is in the NBA Finals this year. Eastern Conference, kind of a crapshoot. It's open.
I would be shocked.
They don't have superstar players last night.
I saw you tweet it.
But they have so much depth, and they can beat you in so many different ways. That being said, the timing of this latest we didn't show up kind of game, disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting and inexcusable, especially when you're getting your best player back.
I have got two, and I'm with you on this. I was really disgusted myself. That's a good word for it. And I think this is a really bad condemnation of Igor Kokoschkov, who I think is a good man, a good basketball guy. But I think this is, right now, I'll tell you right now, this guy was meant to be an assistant coach, okay? And I'll flesh this
out. Cardinals are looking for an offensive coordinator.
There you go. And I'll flesh this out in a minute on my thoughts on Igor Kokoschkov.
Okay.
Because there's no way any team with any self-respect or pride keeps doing this. Where here we are now in the middle to late January, and we didn't show up tonight. How many times are we going to hear this year of our team didn't show up tonight? Second of all, the fact that this happened on the night that Devin Booker returned really is suspicious to me. Really suspicious. Why? How could you add your best player, a max dollar player, and then suddenly not show up? I'm sorry. We have explored this. We've tiptoed around this story about Devin Booker and the team building and lifting teammates up, winning player, all that stuff. It's too early to make any conclusions, but how do you add back your best player by far and not show up, and everybody else doesn't show up? Instead of being galvanized by it and going, man, we just beat the Nuggets without Devin Booker, and now we got him back. Let's go on a roll. They had time off. They played on Saturday. Yesterday was Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've heard, too, in the explanation of why they can't put together consistent performances. Oh, there's no time to practice. Well, they had plenty of time.
They had a practice Monday in Indianapolis, a full practice in the basketball mecca of the planet. And this is what you get the next day? To me, all of this really smells bad. Now, Igor Kokoschkov. I never paid this off yesterday when I brought this up, and I apologize to anybody who was waiting for this, but, you know, it's me, and I doubt anybody was hanging on anything I had to say. Igor Kokoschkov, all right, he made this point on Doug and Wolf, and he made a point about how you as a basketball player control your scouting report. And he started to flesh out his thoughts on this. I thought, this is really a profound thing, a profound message to tell young players, because they all... You could take a scouting report that you get, intel, day-to-day intel in the NBA, an industry that sends scouts on the road to watch basketball games just to pick you and your game apart. So you got guys sitting in that building every night with a legal pad and a pen jotting down every bad habit you have. And you could show these to players and go, you see this? This is your value. This is your market value. This is your reputation. This is what people say about you. And that would get my attention. Mm-hmm. And then Igor says, you control that. Everything you do on the court feeds into that scout. And I thought, this is really elite level psychology, but it gets lost in the communication because Igor is not an orator.
Orator.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I'll work on that when I go on vacation.
Oh, the irony of that one.
Yeah, I'll work on maybe in my radio later in my radio tenure I'll get that right.
He is not a Skeletor.
He's an orator. Orator. Skeletor. Sorry. That's pretty brutal. But English is not his first language, and that's not his fault. And he's a smart basketball guy. That's a great reflection on him and the career he's built and what he's gleaned, but it doesn't come across. It's hard for it to come across. And if radio listeners sitting there have a hard time deciphering it, do players get it? Now, I'm not saying this is the only thing that's holding Igor back, but the team doesn't fear him. The team never has feared him.
Is fear a necessary ingredient?
You don't think a little bit's necessary?
I think what you're saying is interesting. I don't buy into that.
Okay. Do you think the Spurs fear Greg Popovich? You think the Timberwolves fear Tom Thibodeau?
Not anymore. I mean, he's cleaned out his desk.
You're going to argue with me on whether the Spurs fear Greg Popovich. Are you insane? I'm sorry. I won't use that word.
I can
Are you
argue.
Nuts?
Fear for professional athletes, fearing their coach, I don't know how prevalent that is in any sport. For any coach.
Well, I'm not talking about go run under the covers kind of fear, but I better not. I better. Coach is watching. I've got to put my best foot forward. There's too much trampling on Igor. I'm sorry. I'm not there every day.
For argument's sake, though, let's say they did fear Igor Kokoschkov. Would the record be any different?
Yes.
I don't think so.
They'd show up for games. I wouldn't hear like clockwork every week and a half we didn't show up for this game.
And you think that a guy named Igor would be a great guy to fear, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, I'm your coach. Igor!
Igor, yes. If you don't listen to me, you can visit my dungeon.
I'm giving you surface observations because I cannot accept a head coach for the 15th time this year we did not show up to play tonight. Why? Yeah, why? Now tie it into now, and you don't think it's
could the simple answer be that they're not that good?
Yes,
that they just aren't good, and sometimes they just have games where they just really stink.
We just spent a good portion of yesterday's show, or Monday's show for that matter, talking about how encouraged we were by a 48-minute effort against a good basketball team in Denver without their best player. That was the anomaly. Sadly, and look, I'm not absolving myself from it. I get caught up in it. I thought maybe that was a turning point. That was a statement win. It wasn't a statement win. Last night was a statement, and that statement, as Jarrett brought up, we're not very good. Our coach is feeling his way out. He doesn't really know what he's doing just yet, and our players can be described the same way. That was an embarrassing performance. And if you continue to come out flat, yes, some of it is on the coach. Most of it falls on the players. How much money are you making? What do you do for a living? This is your job. And you get outscored by 19 points again in the first quarter?
Greg Popovich will
That's on you.
Greg Popovich will have a press conference every now and again after a horrible Spurs game, and he will be disgusted with his basketball team, and he will say so, and that kind of performance won't happen again for 2 months.
Absolutely, and Greg Popovich, for as great a coach as he is, when has he not had a Hall of Fame player on his roster? Anytime during his tenure.
They need a head coach with a stronger personality.
No, they need Hall of Fame players.
How many times has Igor Kokoschkov gotten up with all this mistreatment you claim the Suns get from officials? With all that horrible mistreatment, how many times has Igor got up, gotten to a ref's face, and gotten thrown from the game?
Not often.
Oh, really? Why?
That's not in his nature.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying I disagree with you, but that doesn't fall under personality. That falls under...
Yes, it does. It is personality. What else is it but personality?
Okay. But can you ask somebody? All right. That's like asking Josh Jackson to be a 70% three-point shooter. He's not able to do it.
Exactly. I'm not blaming Igor for who he's not. I'm blaming the Suns for hiring a lifetime assistant and hoping that he can command a room of young players who may or may not really get the message he's trying to convey to them. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. Here we are in the middle of January, and the head coach, we didn't show up to play tonight. How many times do millionaire 20-year-olds decide it's okay to not show up at night to play a basketball game?
Look, I agree with you that when you get off to those rough starts and maybe you get a timeout in the first couple minutes of the game and you freak out on your team and you set the tone, maybe that has some sort of staying power, but you can't continue to do that.
No,
I
agree.
The players that are lining up in the starting five can't come out and that flat. It's on them. It's on Devin Booker talking about being a leader. He was coming back last night. There was no minute restrictions on him. He looked like a different player. And I'm not just talking about the headband. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing out there.
Yeah, no, you're right.
A very frustrating performance.
It was.
And completely erases any feelings of momentum that you had going into that game if you're the Suns. And now they have three more on the road. Coming up next, a lot of uncertainty around the Cliff Kingsbury hire. How's it going to work out? I will offer the first tangible proof that this was a home run hire. by the Arizona Cardinals. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
If you listen to what Michael Bidwell said about the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury, it sounded to me like he was hiring a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
It didn't sound to me like he was hiring a head coach.
Yeah.
He wanted him to coach up this quarterback. Well, there are 52 other guys on the roster, and that has to be a part of the equation as well.
That was Trey Wingo of ESPN on our show yesterday, giving his thoughts on the hire. Didn't seem to be a big fan of it. Didn't seem to be a big fan of the Cardinals, abrupt shift away from Steve Wilks after 1 year. Most people from the outside, and I mean outside of Arizona, appear to be in that category. But he hit on something that has kind of been a discussion, especially with John DeFilippo not taking the offensive coordinator job here in Arizona and taking it in Jacksonville. And that is, how attractive is this situation to a qualified coordinator on the offensive side to come in when you know Cliff Kingsbury is basically the de facto offensive coordinator? I'm wondering if the Cardinals go that route of the other teams when they have their guy in place as their head coach and their offensive play caller. Do you need to give somebody that title just to have a title so it looks good on a coaching roster?
No.
Can't you have a run game coordinator, pass game coordinator?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Going to save you some money too, probably. I'm not saying that's the right way to go about it. I'm just talking about the realities of what the Cardinals are facing right
now. Yeah. No, that... Well, then if I were the Cardinals, what is the point in even interviewing Steve Sarkisian and John DeFilippo?
Well, I think they want to fill that position with somebody that they feel is qualified.
If it's a nothing job, why would you spend the money necessary? Because one of the things I heard Wolf say this morning, and we brought this up weeks ago, it's very, very true. What the Cardinals did, for all the people who ripped Michael Bidwell and the Cardinals, oh, you took the easy way out, you fired an African-American, how dare you, racist. Okay, the Arizona Cardinals just spent a ton of money to buy out one coaching staff and import another. Mm-hmm. That's a big bill. The easy thing would, the cost-effective thing to do, all right, let's keep another year. Be a lot of money to buy out. Michael Bidwell was pushed into this situation. Here, we're breaking our rule talking about Steve Wilks again. At least I am. But the money involved. So a Steve Sarkisian or a John DeFilippo, they're going to cost a lot of money. So if the job isn't even that good, why are you aiming at those candidates to begin with? Because you have to.
Don't you have to shoot high?
For what? I guess. But if they're not going to be doing at, I won't say anything, but if their talents aren't going to be maxed out, then why are you interviewing? Because they're going to cost a lot.
Maxed out is a good way to put it, but this is a position that the coordinator, and I'll put it in quotes if you want, will have an opportunity to build a relationship and further the career of a young quarterback. It's got to be somebody who works well with quarterbacks. And I offered this in the tease. You want some proof that this was a good hire?
Mm-hmm.
Look no further than the comments from Mike Martz, former NFL head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Former longtime assistant coach. Everybody's criticizing the Cardinals and other teams because of what? They're trying to find the next Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Martz says, stop looking for the next Sean McVay. Quote, there's just one of him. This isn't a prototype. They just don't churn these things out. He's unique. He's very special, as is Sean Payton, and for some reason, the league thinks they're all out there. They're not. This is the same Mike Martz that completely laughed off the hiring of Sean McVay.
He said he threw up in his mouth a little
because
when he heard Sean McVay was hired.
Just a little?
Suggesting he wasn't qualified.
It was just bile.
Suggesting he wasn't qualified enough to
take over
an NFL team.
That is the worst, when you're about to throw up and you get that.
Yeah.
Can
we not talk about this?
Sorry.
No, you're right. That acid burn.
Okay,
yeah, it's awful.
That sour, like. Just to echo, and I know you're making fun of what he said because of what he previously said, but to echo that about the only one Sean McVay, Trey Wingo told us the same thing yesterday.
I need to throw out the idea that maybe there's only one Sean McVay, right? A lot of people are looking for the next Bill Belichick. I think there's only one of those guys. Now, I'm not willing to put Sean McVay in Bill Belichick's status yet, but maybe there's just one of those guys.
What's more foolish, though? To criticize an organization for looking for that next guy, doesn't everybody do that in every job search?
Of course. Of course.
Let's say the web department at ArizonaSports.com loses a valued employee. Aren't you looking for the next so-and-so to fill somebody who does those same things well? You're always looking for somebody to replicate what is done well in your business.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, to not look for that is derelict, and to criticize that, okay, I think, is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the NFL is, it takes it to a different level. And I think that the problem with the NFL is that it's not a league that champions innovation. It's a league that's very averse to risk and likes to do things based on convention and what's normal and what's been done in the past. So when somebody comes and bucks that trend, whether it's Bill Walsh or Bruce Arians or Sean McVay, then the copycat syndrome kicks into gear, and it's really a poor reflection on a league that should be focused more on innovation at all times, not just when it works for one team. That's it. Because what you're doing then is you're relying on everybody else to provide the innovation, and then you're scrambling to catch up. I see what you're saying. In theory, you're absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with it. But in the NFL, it's a little more profound because of just how the culture of fear that governs this sport and this league, it's been really over the top, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, this is where I think the Cardinals deserve most of the credit. And I'm not saying unequivocally this is going to work out. I have no idea.
Oh, no. This could be a train wreck.
They made a safe hire last year. They went through the process. They pinpointed a guy who they thought was ready for the opportunity. He wasn't. How many teams have been burned like that in the past and then do exactly the same thing in terms of process? We're gonna hire the guy we think is next for that opportunity. The Cardinals said, we're not doing that again. Steve Keim, who's very much on the hot seat and should be, said, I'm not doing that again. We're going to think outside the box. We're going to swing for the fences. And, oh, well, if it misses, we'll pay off another coaching staff, and I'll be in a different front office. He should be applauded for being that risky.
There was two ways they could have gone after the disaster last year. One, extremely conservative and pick a candidate that has a very low ceiling but a very high floor, so that at worst, it's going to just be mediocrity, but it's very safe because of what happened.
Yeah.
Or you say, screw it. We have nothing to lose. Let's swing for the fences and let's really try something different here. And that's what they did.
All right. By the way, before we move off of this, I want to say I'm deeply disgusted with myself. We have a listener, John Paul May, I believe is his name. And he tweeted out, in regards to our greatest juniors of all time on Mock My World, I cannot believe none of us, particularly me being a huge Sopranos fan, nobody got Uncle June, Uncle Junior. Now, you didn't, did you see the show? I forget.
No.
Okay. We weren't doing fictional people, though. That's why.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
So it had to be real people?
It didn't. I mean, nobody else picked any fictional people.
Is there any other fictional juniors that, I mean, I don't know.
Of course there is.
Okay. But this guy, I mean, this was in his name. Okay. All right, so maybe I'm not so disgusted with myself.
No, you
but
shouldn't
I saw
be.
That
you're
I'm
being
like,
too hard on yourself.
Like, what did I not think of that?
Leave us alone, John.
No. I think you're winning anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm threatening a record of futility.
You are.
This week.
You're close. Vote Bickley_Murata if you haven't yet.
Yeah, and don't vote for me because I want to set a record today. Coming up next, a lot of the Denver Broncos coaching staff is relocated to Arizona for next year. Who better to talk to that about then Mark Schlereth, who's got familiarity with all of them. We'll talk NFL with our weekly guest, Mark Schlereth, next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Burns and Gambo.
It's not going to be Dennis Smith Jr., but are the Suns still looking for a veteran point guard? We'll ask the Suns' interim GM, James Jones, when he joins us at 3 o'clock.
Burns and Gambo, afternoons, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, Dan Bickley here. With my house starting to show a lot of age, I am learning a lot of painful lessons. I've learned there are a lot of options for window replacement in the Valley. I've learned there's only one good solution, and that is Lifetime Windows and Doors. Here's why. They use Infinity Fiberglass Windows from Marvin, one of the finest window manufacturers in America. And Marvin chose Lifetime Windows and Doors as their exclusive partner in the Phoenix area. So should you. Here's why. Their windows are 8 times stronger than vinyl. They have a temperature threshold of 350 degrees. They're built to last and thrive in a climate that eats vinyl and aluminum window options for lunch. And you also get their zero worry warranty. When you invest in your house, you want to make sure you're spending money wisely and you're getting a lot out of it. So every part of your windows from Lifetime, the frame, the sash, the seals, the screens, even the glass, guaranteed to meet your expectations. And then that warranty is transferable to the next homeowner if you ever decide to sell your home. Lifetime also has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, listed in the top 200 on the list of top residential remodelers in the United States. So remember, there is only one kind of window you want in our raging inferno, and only one company that delivers it. It's Lifetime Windows and Doors. Call them at 480-550-9993. Visit them at their Phoenix showroom. They can show you the difference fiberglass makes, or check them out online at lifetimewindowsaz.com.